Hello. How about his band sound?
I can hear you.
I'm sorry.
Don't be sorry. It's hot.
Yeah, our air conditioner is taking down the circuit in our studio more than it has in the past.
Ooh.
So we'll have it on, and then circuit breaks.
Does it pull down, like, your computers and stuff with it?
It's Sean, I think.
Damn.
No, it was just the power, the surge protector keeps switching on.
Yeah.
That sucks.
Yep. So we got all the fans running, and the door open. Hopefully it won't die.
Don't die.
I have to draw a roller coaster.
All right.
Let me see. It's got to be an easier way to draw a roller coaster, right?
SketchUp.
Let's look.
And welcome to a very hot week 822 of the Crankcast.
How is it down there?
Hot. Probably not as hot as there, I'm thinking. It might be a little more humid down here because, you know, we don't get like that breeze off the lake and stuff.
Yeah, maybe.
It's a lot cooler today. It's supposed to get down to 68.
We're getting like, like 8 to 10 degrees higher in like heat index versus what the actual temperature is. So that's why I'm thinking the humidity's higher here. But
Schmubidity?
The stupidity?
It's not the heat, it's the stupidity.
Right.
That's from a Too Much Joy song.
Say what?
That's from a Too Much Joy song.
Oh. Well, there you go. Things to talk about. Oh, I posted this on Instagram a little while ago, but I forgot to talk about it on here. Do you remember ever reading a DC comic from the early 90s called World Without End?
No, I don't. Is that something like those Vertigo books, or what?
I would have thought it probably would have been thrown into a Vertigo line, just because of how weird it is. But maybe this was, I mean, this was 1990. When did Vertigo start?
I don't know.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember, too, because this came out in, it was a six-issue miniseries. It came out and started out in 1990. It ran from November 90 to April of 91. And it was Jamie Delano and John Higgins.
Okay, Jamie Delano did a lot of Vertigo stuff, so it had to be Vertigo.
Yeah, because he was working on Hellblazer before this.
Yeah.
And, according to Wikipedia, this came out in between Hellblazer, his run on Hellblazer and Animal Man. So, it's a weird book. It's all painted art. It's just a really strange story, like a dystopian future. Post-apocalyptical, I guess? Or post-apocalypse?
Post-apocalyptical.
It's like my post-elliptical cooldown after my workout, you know?
What was the title again?
World Without End. It's, I'm trying to think of even how to describe it. I mean, the basic plot is that, in this post-world or whatever, like, male society took over and subjugated the females, and everybody's kind of reproduced, through vats and stuff like that. Like cloning, I guess, or in vitro, maybe. Society's kind of fallen apart and fractured, and they've also got some sort of biotech, so it's remade the planet around them, and it's really hostile. And suddenly this rogue female shows up and starts, like, really messing with everything.
Gotta watch out for them rogue females.
Right. And she manages to, like, reactivate an abandoned biofacility and starts making kind of monster things.
What's gonna happen when you got a rogue female?
And then, then later on in the series, you find actually, like, she stumbles across an enclave of all females that have, like, kept themselves hidden from the males and stuff.
Right.
And like, to kind of root this out, the males, I don't know if they're, like, they revive an old thing or, like, clone of an old warrior of theirs to go after the females. But, like, this character has such strange speech that they kind of created a whole, they had to create a whole, like, a key guide to what he's saying, like, with symbols and stuff like that. This was lettered by Richard Starkings. And, so, yeah, like, at the end of the second issue, I guess they figured out, like, in the second issue is when they introduced this character. And I guess they figure out that probably people are going to have a really hard time reading this, because the back matter stuff, they threw in this, like, key guide with symbols and what things mean as it relates to the English language and stuff. And I didn't remember any of that. I remembered it was a weird book, and it was kind of like, it was different when I read it. I didn't pick it up until, like, 93 or 94. I got it out of, like, a cheapy bin, you know? And at that, I didn't even have all six issues. I think I was missing, like, two of them. So that was probably kind of confusing, too. But, it was, like, just, it was, for the time I read it, it was really strange and just different from, like, other stuff that was out. It probably seems kind of tame nowadays, but it's got some cool art, and the story's not bad. It's a little confusing at points, and like I said, for as much as that character talks, like, it's one thing to have, like, a really weird, specialized dialogue if you're just going to pepper it in here and there for color, like, from local characters or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, this character, like, monologues through a whole bunch of the book. So it's like, really difficult to read. And I'm just, like, I'm going through it and I'm looking at it now, especially, you know, because when I first read it, I wasn't a letterer, so I just approached it as a reader, you know? But now I'm looking at it going, like, holy shit, what the hell were they thinking? Like, why would they do this to people? You gotta admire Starkings for actually, like, going, okay, let's do it. And then, like, proceeding to do that for six issues or five issues, I guess.
That's the way some people make stuff, you know?
Yeah.
It's not really in style, but I'm sure somebody out there is making stuff like that.
It's definitely strange. But it was kind of neat to go back and read it, though. And, you know, again, it's just so surprising, because, I mean, this is an example of something that, I guess DC still has that Black Label thing now, right?
I don't know. Do they?
Oh, I don't. I mean, that was just like last year they announced it, wasn't it? Or was that 2019?
Black Label still a thing? I don't know if anybody's listening.
Because Vertigo's gone, right? So DC set up other things to kind of differentiate their lines of work, right? Like the Black Label and stuff like that. Yeah,
but I don't know what they are.
I don't know. I mean, this book's just, it's an example of something that I wouldn't expect DC to put out early at all now.
Yeah.
And if they did, they would probably shove it under something like Black Label so it would get segregated from their main line. Because it doesn't have anything to do with the DC Universe as well, you know? But yeah, I think, like, if you can find that cheap in back issues or whatever, it's definitely worth checking out. Apparently they put out a hardcover back in 2016 that collected it all. It's just weird, man. It's kind of fun revisiting stuff you read in the past and kind of seeing what your take on it is now, like, now that you have more experience with stuff, comics and whatnot. Stuff.
Drawing a Brad Pitt roller coaster.
The roller coaster's made by Brad Pitt, or it looks like Brad Pitt?
It's a Brad Pitt-themed roller coaster.
Oh, okay. So as you're zooming along the tracks, you pass, like, scenes from Seven or something.
Yeah.
Okay. That sounds like the pits, man.
Kill you!
Oh, also on comic stuff, you know, just to highlight how completely ignorant Fox News is, apparently they're mad that Captain America's woke.
You know, I saw something about that on Twitter, and I didn't even click the link because I don't even care. I don't know what that means.
Yeah, I guess somebody got mad about the current storyline and started calling him Captain Propaganda, and then people started making fun of them, saying, you mean like the very first issue where he's punching Hitler?
Yeah.
Which, I mean, there was not a whole lot to talk about this, because, I mean, it's just dumb and ignorant, and obviously they have no idea what the fuck they're talking about. They're just trying to be mad about something.
They are. They're mad because they can't... There's nothing for them to complain about, like president-wise.
Yeah.
So they're making up stuff.
Yeah, with the lack of anything legitimate to be angry about, they're just grasping at straws. So yeah, it's just Fox is really, they turned into like angry old man screaming at clouds kind of thing.
I have to, like, see it on, like, literally, they don't turn it off at my wife's house when we go to visit. They never turn it off.
Hmm.
And it's always on that channel. And I don't understand.
I don't know.
Even if we're in there having breakfast or talking or something, they'll mute it, but it's still on. It's really weird.
I guess it's like comforting for him or something.
Hey, man.
But yeah. Anyway. I forgot to say too. John Higgins, the guy that did this.
Mm-hmm.
He went on to do. Where was it? There was something else. I mean, he had done a bunch of other stuff. He had worked on like Judge Dredd stuff.
It's pretty. Oh, no.
Yeah, actually, now looking at his bibliography, he had actually done a bunch of stuff anyway. Batman Killing Joke. He colors on it. Ding. And he had also worked on Hellblazer stuff. I thought there was something else comic-y related I was going to talk about, but it's kind of slipping me by. So I'll move on to something else. Okay, so you worked in, like, advertising and stuff before you moved up to Chicago for Devil's Due.
Yeah.
Do you remember reading Print Magazine?
Yeah. I was in Print Magazine a couple times.
Yeah?
Yeah.
That's cool.
They had... I can't remember if it was that or... there was one called CA. I forgot what it stood for. Commercial Advertising? I forget. I did all the illustrations and a lot of the flash animations for the Nashville Predator, the NHL team, for their first website.
Oh, that's cool.
And it got picked for, like, one of the, like, website design things in there.
Huh.
So I've been in that magazine.
So you've literally been in print?
Yeah.
Like,
I guess so.
Bragging.
I can't stop bragging, man. I'm just too good.
It's not bragging if it's all truth. I guess
no,
it is.
Actually, yeah, that's exactly what bragging is.
Yeah, I guess it is still bragging. It is bragging. So never mind. So Print Magazine, I'm not really sure what the tie-in, but they... Because from everything I read, they were based out of New York, but they had a Cincinnati office.
Really?
Yeah, when you look at the... Or at least... Okay, let me backtrack a little bit. And one of my more recent, like, bulk book reference material acquisitions that I get for cheap stuff, I threw in a copy of from 2002, like, I guess it was August, September, something like that, of Print Magazine. It was like their design awards annual, I think. And I just thought it'd be fun to look at, kind of like a time capsule kind of thing.
Sure.
And so when I opened it up and I was looking at, like, the all the preface information, like, you know, notes from the editor and stuff like that, that the contact info was for a place not far from here in Cincinnati. I was like, oh, that's weird.
Back in the day of magazines having...
actual magazines.
Yeah. having multiple headquarters.
When print was in print.
Print ruled the world.
I remember print. What was that other one? It was called, like, Ad or something?
CA was the other one. We, when I was in school, we had to buy. It was part of the, like the book list was to get a subscription to print and CA.
Oh, okay. So, like, print, I know, from what I've read, print is really old. It was started in 1940.
Okay.
And, it, you know, it reinvented itself a few times, and I guess most recently it was acquired by another company in 2019 and just moved to completely digital. But it's still around as an entity. So, I mean, that's kind of... Say what?
I think a lot of magazines are like that, aren't they?
Well, I think it's impressive that, you know, I mean, this magazine's been around for, what, 80-something years now? 81 years, I guess? So, I mean, that's pretty, you know, that's a good pedigree, anyway. The thing I thought was weird, though, is that this design annual or whatever, it's like 150-something pages long. It was a $35 book
yeah.
in 2002 that's, money.
Yeah, that's the other thing I forgot. Yeah, those magazines were ridiculously expensive.
I mean, it's oversized. It's, you know, it's on nice stock, etc.
Like, every issue was like that, though.
But you get into it, and again, this is 2002. You know, pretty well. I mean, there was a good buffer there between 2002 and when they declared the death of print, kind of thing. But you know, it's 150 something pages, and less than, I'm going to say less than half of the issue is actual content. It's mostly advertisements for stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And like, there's an argument to be said there that for a magazine focusing on the ad industry, that having most of the content be ads is sort of, okay. I mean, you know, because you're looking at ads, right? I mean, but there's not a lot of, like, actual content in the sense of, there's, like, some book reviews. There's a whole big section in the middle that's neat that breaks down the country in sections and kind of goes over, I guess, what was submitted to the design award thing or whatever.
Yeah, that was, as far as I'm concerned, that was pretty much the main content of that.
Yeah, and it is. It's the bulk of the content, the actual content in this magazine. And that was neat because they break it down, like I said, they break it down by area of the country.
Uh-huh.
And, of course, New York itself gets its own section. but it, that was fun because I read the part because they went, besides the breaking it down by section, they would also do, like, spotlight some states and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And I read the section about Ohio at the time, and they were talking about how, just a lot of companies at the time in Ohio were not putting out, you know, publications for anything, like annual materials or anything.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was really hurting the ad business in Ohio, and there wasn't a lot of stuff being actually produced. And then, like, you look at other sections, like, basically what I got the sense of, especially after reading that section in the article in Ohio, was that especially right around then, if you wanted to actually do interesting work, you had to move to a location that had companies that were putting stuff out.
Oh, that wasn't unusual. Yeah.
Because, like, you know, in the case of Ohio, if a lot of these companies stop doing that or companies move out of the state or whatever, you know, the artists in that state aren't going to get the work that they used to. So they're not going to be able to do as much interesting stuff.
Yeah, that's normal.
I think that's probably changed somewhat.
Go to Hollywood to make movies.
Yeah, it's that same effect, sure. Yeah. I think that's probably changed somewhat now, though, because, I mean, you know, remote workers, I mean, an art director can hire somebody from anywhere now, you know. They don't need to be in physical proximity to them.
I do.
But, because, yeah, going through all these regions and stuff, I mean, you hit places like New York or, like, Georgia was booming at the time. And, you know, you see all this really interesting-looking ad work and artwork and stuff like that. And then, you get into Ohio, and it's the Ohio section, and there's solid work there, but it's all pretty tame, you know? And then, so, I mean, that was cool. And like I said, it's kind of neat to pick this up as just sort of a snapshot of the time period, what was going on, and how people were kind of viewing things at the time. But yeah, that's all. And so, print magazine. I never really, especially back then, I didn't read a lot of design periodicals like that.
Mm-hmm.
But again, I didn't go to school, so it wasn't like part of my curriculum to like have to read that stuff either. So,
so stupid! I didn't go to school!
Yeah, well, dumb.
You're pretty dumb.
I am dumb. I should run for Congress.
Witty!
Topical. Yeah, so. Neat stuff.
Mmm. Discreet.
Oh, yeah, there's an article about a book on Edward Gorey in there, which doesn't really relate to what you were just saying, except that he always reminds me of him and Richard Adams. Kind of like I lumped them together. And that was kind of interesting thing on Gorey, because apparently he was just very evasive whenever he was interviewed about anything. So I don't know what else is new. Tell me something good.
I mean, it's Sean's birthday.
All right, happy birthday, Sean!
What?
Mike, give him a big hug for me.
I don't know if he'll like that.
I know. Give him a big hug for me.
I don't hug Sean very much.
Aw.
I hug Josh all the time.
Huh.
Josh is a hugger. Sean just kind of stands there like, leave me alone.
So he's like a cat.
Mark. He is very cat-like. He's like one of those lucky cats you see in a store.
Pets.
He likes pets, he said.
He likes what?
Pets.
Oh, okay. Do you scratch behind his ears?
Yeah, scratch behind his ears.
Well, how old is Sean today?
He's like 50 or something.
It's really hard to tell, isn't it?
Way older than you think he is.
Day older than what?
No, I didn't say a day old. I said you're way older than you people think you are.
42.
Holy crap. Man, I still thought you were like 20 something.
I was 12 when you met me.
I know. You're sort of ageless, Sean.
He is ageless.
You got the
I'm gonna get Asian old. Like, you'll be like, what? What happened? Sean's all of a sudden like 100 looking.
How old is your dad?
My dad is 70.
See, he does not look 70. He doesn't look like 70 anything.
Most impressive. That's what you call good genes.
That's 70.
I don't know. I'm not a doctor.
I can't remember the math.
He's past the point of counting.
Past the point of counting.
So, what you doing for your birthday, Sean?
I don't know. tonight a big dinner. And then I was thinking about having people over, but every time I go to, like, organize anything, my body stops myself. And it's been so hot.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't want to be outside.
Right.
It's getting kind of too late. You're going to be like Jim and ask us 3 hours before.
But now I'm thinking about renting a movie theater.
Wow.
It's cheap now.
I guess they are kind of still hurting for business, right?
It's like $150.
Oh, that's not terrible.
Which you're going to spend like $50 for two people anyway, in general, going to the movies.
And they're air conditioned.
Yeah. So, maybe go see Black Widow.
The ads for the Black Widow stuff keep throwing me because she's dressed in white.
Why?
It just looks weird to me. She's Black Widow.
She had that costume in the comics a little while.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yep.
I just... Well, not used to seeing her that way.
I think those are the zombie issues, right?
No, that was Black costume. I think the White Widow stuff was in... it's when... What's her name? Shows up for the first time.
Her sister?
Yeah, her name starts with a Y, the one. It's like...
Is she her sister?
It's not. I don't think it's her real sister.
She was part of the same program or whatever, right?
It was the... What was that guy's name? Whatever.
Right there.
No, not Williams. He's the guy who drew Marvel Boy.
Marvel
Boy? Yeah, the one with the jerky Marvel Boy.
Who did draw that? I forget.
It's, what's his name? That one guy, he's really good.
With the hands and the pencil.
With the hands and the pencil.
What's his name?
Joe Bob. Joe Bob something or other.
Well, we have the internet, right? I mean, I could be wrong.
J.D. Jones.
Oh, J.D. Jones, yeah.
Did that miniseries where she shows up. And I think that's when she switches to white for a little while.
Huh. Marvel Boy's first appearance was in 1950.
What's that?
Marvel Boy's first appearance was in 1950.
Yeah, it's one of those keep the trademark alive by creating new characters.
But it's like a new Marvel Boy, right?
Yeah.
Novar? Is that the same?
I don't know. I don't read comic books.
Comic book rules.
Oh, so, Novar, okay, yeah, the original was Robert Grayson.
So, J.G. wasn't able to finish it. Someone else drew it.
Huh.
Sorry, someone else. But you sucked!
Oh, damn.
Yeah, boy.
Bold words. Sean's feeling cheeky on his birthday.
Yeah. I'm old enough to not give a fuck.
All right, then.
That guy sucks, too.
So, is your birthday party going to be Douglas Adams themed?
It's, your mom themed.
Oh, shit!
Damn.
You did the one thing you always tell us not to do.
I just said I was done with your mom.
Oh, you always say that.
And I've been good about that. I haven't done your mom in a long time.
Oh! Because she's dead.
Well, I mean, you know, that's not counting necrophilia.
Oh. Do you feel like you went too far just then?
Maybe.
I knew it.
I'd rather not think about it too hard.
Mm-hmm. let's think about this. Do you think... Now I'm crying.
How about not? Okay, then. So, okay, do you remember the movie The City of Lost Children from, like, 94, 95?
I've never watched it all the way through.
Oh, okay. But you remember that it was a movie, though, right?
Yeah, I know a lot about it.
I saw it in the theater.
Oh, that would have been neat. I only ever saw it on VHS and later digital.
When it came down, I went and got the poster from the theater.
Nice. I remember liking that movie a lot. I got it when it first came out on video, because I was working at that distributor place. So I got it, like, you know, when it hit the U.S. on rental. And I really loved the imagery from that movie. And it was weird and like, I'm not trying to say it was like Monty Python, but it was in that same kind of, like, weird vein, like a Brazil or something like that, you know? But I had never seen that director's earlier movie, Delicatessen, before.
Oh, yeah. It's great.
And I finally watched that the other night, and it's also very weird. Like, I think that was a 91 movie, but it feels very 80s to me.
Well, a lot of 80s movies feel very 70s.
That's true, yeah. But that is, it's just a very strange, strange movie, you know? And again, it's got that same surreal, like, kind of black humor vibe to it.
Yeah, those of them, they're good when they have the two directors. Once Jeanette and... Shit, what's the other guy's name? When they left, some of the magic went away for some reason.
I'm trying to find... It was a... I know the guy that... Or, let's see, one of them... Where was it? Was it... Directors were Marc Caro and Jean-Pierre Jeunet.
Yeah, Jeunet. Caro, yeah.
And I guess... I mean, they also did City of Lost Children, right? Or at least one of them did?
They both did.
Okay.
They worked together for a while, and then they kind of split up. And Caro did some other stuff, but it wasn't very successful. And Jeunet, he's done some good stuff, but it's like missing something.
It's like when a band goes solo. And, like, theoretically you should like their stuff, because you liked them when they were together, but it's just not the same.
Did one of them do Catwoman?
Oh my god.
Catwoman... Ooh.
The Weird Catwoman?
Oh, I don't know.
Let's see.
I'm looking it up. I know I'm looking at Jeanette right now. He did... Oh, he did Amelie, too.
What's that?
He did Amelie.
Yeah.
And I'm not really familiar with anything else I'm seeing on his. Marc Caro did... Yeah, I don't recognize... Anything after City of Lost Children from him?
No.
I mean, you know, and to be fair, I don't like, I don't watch a lot of French movies, so.
Except for Subway.
Oh, yeah, Subway. I love Subway.
Just on a loop in your house.
Yeah, I got a monitor in the bathroom that plays it all the time.
Weird place to watch it, but, you know, it sort of fits.
Yeah, it works. Yeah. You should see what I keep in the kitchen closet.
No, I shouldn't.
Jeanette's weirdest, though, is probably, like, Alien Resurrection, though.
I like them.
Was that his?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, it is. I just watched that recently, too, because I couldn't remember... I remember when I first saw that movie...
The little French guy and Ron Palmer.
Oh, you're right.
And the weird Whedon script.
The weird French guy, his name is Dominique, is it Pinon or Pignon? Pinon?
Oh, no, I'm not a doctor.
I don't know how to pronounce it, but yeah. The weird little French guy. I've actually seen him in a lot of stuff, seemed like. But, yeah, I watched Alien Resurrection recently because I couldn't remember. I had a vague memory of watching it a really long, like, when it, near when it first came out, and I just did not like it. And then I watched it again a while later, and I was like, well, the thing I really didn't like was those weird, the animation of the water aliens, like the aliens underwater. And then I watched it more recently, and I'm like, eh, it's alright. You know?
I saw it in North Nashville with Jason Alexander and Sherrard Jackson.
Yeah? What was your impression when you saw it?
At the Gallatin Mall or something.
Yeah.
I liked it. They really liked it. I don't know what they'd say now.
But. Yeah, my most recent watching of it, I'm like, yeah, you know, it's all right. So,
I think it's good if you think of it as like an alternate world and not related to the other three Alien movies.
It's got some really cool concepts in it.
Yeah, yeah. It just feels so different than the other Alien worlds.
Yeah, it sounds strange to say, I'm going to do a weird take on Alien. But, I mean, that's pretty much what it is, right? Because it doesn't really play by the stuff that came before it, except in the fact that, you know, there's people being hunted by aliens. Like,
yeah, there's aliens in it. That's the thing that makes it an aliens movie.
The what?
The aliens.
Oh.
There are aliens in it.
Well, and it's about, like, corporations taking advantage of people. But, like, barely.
And I guess I'm trying to think, like, could this movie, if this movie didn't have any ties with the actual Alien franchise, would it have made as much sense on its own? Because do you need that recognition of Ripley for it to make sense?
Not really.
I guess they could have filled that in with just some anonymous character, like, or a new character.
They needed that for the movie to sell.
Yeah.
Right. But I mean,
but I don't know if then you did. Like, just a weird monster space movie in, like, 97? What?
Like, regardless of what people think of the quality of the movies, did Prometheus or what's the one that came after it, did they do well?
They did fine.
So you don't need Ripley.
No, what I was asking was, like, you know, for the that particular story in Alien Resurrection, because it deals with, you know, Ripley being cloned and having gone through all this stuff and having the alien DNA. But, I mean, I guess you could do that with a new character and just sort of have to fill in some of her background, right? Like,
oh, technically she was a new character because it's not really Ripley. It's a clone of Ripley.
It's like that new TV show is not
going to
have Ripley in it.
Right. It's like an expanded universe thing, right?
Noah Haley was doing a TV show.
Who's Noah Haley?
Noah Haley did Legion.
Oh.
And the Fargo TV shows.
Oh. I started that Fargo show. It was pretty good, but I didn't finish it.
It changed every season.
He's really good. It's going to take place all on Earth, I guess.
That's fun.
I hope it's just all about Paul Reiser.
Wait, if it's all on Earth, that means the alien gets here?
So I don't know if it's actually going to have aliens in there.
No. All right. Okay.
An alien movie without aliens?
Well, it's a TV show.
Oh, well, an alien TV show without aliens?
Yeah.
I mean, don't the aliens kind of define the franchise?
Yeah, but, I mean,
don't try.
It's digging more into what the backbone of those original movies are talking about, with sort of these corporations taking advantage of people.
Oh, they're Lucasing it.
Mm-hmm.
What?
They're making it about politics when it's, you know, a space opera.
That's what Alien was about. Politics.
They were the salt on top of the alien.
Yeah.
The very first conversation in Alien is about unfair wages between the crew.
Yeah, cool. And then you get face huggers and chest bursters and, you know, stuff like that.
In a corporation,
they're being obtuse on purpose.
I'm not being obtuse. That's exactly what that movie's about.
I'm not going to deny that it was a lot about, like, you know, evil corporation stuff, but what defined the series was the alien. I mean, that's what it's called, right? You know?
Yeah.
To make a show that completely divorces from that and focuses solely on the corp, you know.
And literally bursts out of you.
And the second main antagonist is an android programmed by the corporation to make money.
Kill everyone to make money.
Yeah, sure. I mean, it's all about being ground under the machine. And technically, the aliens themselves are machine-like, so they are also grinding you under the machine.
They're parasites.
Much like the corporations, right.
Right.
But still, to make a show without the aliens, kind of just... That's just George Lucas. It's focusing on the politics of it instead of the whole thing.
It's in the olive.
You can't really do a TV show that hangs on... Like, there's no character with Alien.
I'm trying to figure out... I mean, actually, in Alien Resurrection, the baby alien had a character.
Yeah, that's the worst part of that movie.
No, I mean, I get it. The aliens themselves are a force. They're an impersonal, just implacable force. And really, all the character you get out of that is people's reaction to it. So, in that sense, yeah, you could do a movie based on Earth with people in the corporations making decisions based on the aliens and just not have them there. But still, it just seems weird. It's like it's like taking Star Wars and focusing on the politics of the Senate. Which is just, why?
I'm just saying, they're not like... Usually the only reason the alien is able to get a foothold in any of the movies is because stuff that corporations are doing. Like, even in Prometheus, like, that was even more focused on. You actually saw the bad people doing the bad stuff that caused all the problems.
Well, sure. I mean, they all worked. Two had the corporation sending the Marines. Three had the prison institution. Was Resurrection 4?
Yeah.
Okay, there was one after Resurrection, right?
There have been several.
But I mean, one that was like direct in line? Was there one more?
Yes, which was the one after 4?
Yeah, was there one more Sigourney one?
No, it was then Prometheus was the next one after that.
Okay, so Prometheus is 5 then?
Yeah.
Or, I guess, technically, O?
Yeah, it was before all of them.
Right.
It's -1.
Sorry, I just confused myself, but okay.
And then what was the latest one called? Annihilation? No.
You talking about?
I don't know. Did you ever play Alien Isolation?
No, I watch people
play. Covenant.
I haven't seen that one. And I don't remember much of Prometheus. There were parts of Prometheus that were basically the first Alien movie, weren't there?
Yeah.
I sort of remember that.
Except the abortion scene, which is fucking perfect.
I was looking up a list of, just horror games for the PS3. Horror survival stuff, and, Alien Isolation kept coming up in them.
Oh, yeah, that was, like, the good Alien game.
I just thought it was weird, because it's a completely, like, evasive game, almost, or from what I read.
You do not want to engage with the alien in that movie. I mean, in that game. Your job is to hide. That's the play mechanic of that game.
Yeah. Everything I read basically said, like, you can't do anything to the alien. You just have to avoid it.
I mean, you can kill Jason in the Friday the 13th game, but the goal is to try to escape, not to...
And I thought that was a kind of, you know, that's a weird, neat concept. And then I realized that I had bought that game a long time ago and I've never played it. But I think that concept's neat. Where it's not to destroy the enemy, it's to run away as fast as possible. I was never very good at stealth games, though. Even games like...
No, neither was I, but I've learned to like them. I don't know if I have the patience for a true stealth game like Hitman.
Yeah, see, when I play Hitman, I just go balls in, you know?
Yeah, always at some point you go, fuck this, and start shooting everybody.
It doesn't work out too well with the new ones.
Yeah. But I mean, that's why, you know, I don't even know if this new style of stealth game, I don't know if I could call it a stealth game. It's more of a puzzle game. You're trying to figure out patterns and how to make it through there. You're not really, like, Thief, that old game Thief is a stealth game.
So I was going to say, Thief 2, Deadly Shadows, for Xbox, back in the day, that was the game you played through trying not, like, kill anyone and steal all the stuff.
Even, like, something like Skyrim, if you want to be a thief, you have to be stealthy. And it's on your own. The new games are more of a... In Assassin's Creed is more fun than Hitman.
I liked the early the early couple of editions of Hitman, but I was never good. I would try to play the stealth part. I would try to get out the wire and strangle people instead of shooting them and stuff.
Uh-huh.
I was terrible at it, though.
It's really hard. And, you know... When we first started dating, I would watch Julie play two games, Vice City and Hitman. And not a subtle player, Julie. Especially with Hitman. And the thing that drove me crazy was that she didn't even try. She just walks through the front door and starts gunning people down.
What's up, bitches?
Yeah. That's basically what it was. It's like, you don't even want to try to get the disguise.
So she would just immediately go nuclear.
Yeah, and guess what? Never won. Never made it to the end of a...
Yeah, I don't remember exactly, but I'm going to say probably my completion ratio wasn't great. It just it was always so frustrating because I would actually try, you know. I wasn't any good at it. I guess I didn't have the patience for it.
Yeah, that's what I said. You gotta have patience. I don't have that for that.
Yeah.
Barely have it for my own life. I don't have it for that game.
I think the hardest part of Hitman though is not pressing some button at some time.
Yes. Well, that's, you know, that's a universal problem, but it's especially egregious.
Because you're like, oh, okay, tap this button, and then all of a sudden you, like, club somebody. Like, no!
That's not what I thought that did!
You, like, throw a hammer across a room and get, like, some random person. Oh, no.
Just killed the maid. Definitely gonna notice that.
I remember a couple of years ago watching Sean, he was streaming his Hitman experience.
Yeah.
And it was fun to watch, I guess.
Yeah.
You know. It would have been fun if it was a stranger, but it was fun to watch Sean.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I watched some of the ones he did at home where it was, he was kind of like, when he narrated it as he did it, he's like, oh yeah. Yeah, being stealthy now.
Hmm. Oh, something else I've been watching a lot more of recently. Have you ever watched the JHS Pedals video channel on YouTube?
I've seen a couple of them, yeah.
I really like that. He does these.
Funny, yeah.
He'll do like regular, like kind of pre-taped 20-minute segments on stuff, and then I guess once a week or whatever they'll do like a hour-long live thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I've never actually watched him live. I've just watched him after the fact. But the subjects, providing you're into music stuff, history, like pedals, history of pedals, and history of like situations, I guess, and stuff like that.
Yeah.
It's just a really entertaining show, and the fact that it's a pedal maker who mostly talks about other people's stuff is really cool.
Yeah.
It's not just like a blatant, always talking about their own product thing. Although they have done a couple, or they've done at least one where he did a whole segment on why JHS pedals suck.
Yeah, I think I saw the video, but I didn't watch it.
It was, it's one of those tongue-in-cheek things. Basically, he was saying there were pedals he's put out that he was really proud of that the sales just sucked on them. Nobody bought them for some reason. He's like, so it must suck.
He's like, just a funny guy, so I think it translates pretty well.
He is. He's got that weird sort of dry humor. And, he just seems like a pretty engaging dude. And they do those cool music jams as part of when they're demonstrating pedals and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
You kind of
forget that he can actually play guitar because he's such a goofy guy.
Yeah. I mean, he's a good guitar player, too. But, I've been watching more of those recently. I spent, there was actually an entire day last week when I was working where I didn't watch, like, other stuff. I just watched JHS videos all day.
Yeah, I've done stuff like that.
It was a nice break from watching weird TV shows or movies or something. I just wanted to pop those up in case anybody hadn't seen them, because they're really entertaining. They're funny. And the problem is, too, though, is when I watch those, especially when he's talking about, new pedal acquisitions or something like that, immediately I'm jumping over, to another browser window trying to find, see how much they cost and stuff like that.
Yeah. I don't, you know how I am with, let's say, printers?
Like, laser printers?
Any printer.
Okay.
What's the thing that I'll probably do to a printer?
Break it?
Yeah. That's why I don't mess around with pedals.
Yeah, I know you don't really like pedals very much.
Yeah, I don't like it. I like stuff that does everything.
Okay. For me. Sure. I like pedals, but I like mostly messing with pedals I can afford. Like, I've never played a JHS pedal, and I can't afford any JHS pedals.
So they're expensive, huh?
They're not like your $50 pedal or something like that. They range from probably their cheapest pedals, maybe $100.50 or something like that, I think.
See, that's the other thing. I just don't understand that. I'm not going to spend that kind of money.
I would spend it if I had it. It's like Earthquaker pedals. I like Earthquaker stuff. I would have never had an Earthquaker pedal, though, unless I had a job where I basically traded my time for pedals,
I have an Earthquaker pedal.
I think they're a good company, and they make a solid product, and I'm sure JHS, from all the reviews I've read of their stuff I'm sure that it's good product and solid product, and they're charging what people will pay for it, so that's what it's worth, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm just saying I can't afford it, so I've never played one before, and I probably won't anytime soon.
Sorry, I'm not laughing at you. I'm just laughing at what I just finished drawing.
Your Brad Pitt coaster?
Yeah.
Well, if it makes you laugh, it's worthwhile, right?
It is. That's kind of what I like about this.
Yeah. I need to start making notes about what I want to talk about, because I forget it. I have a whole thing that I want to talk about, and then I forget it when I sit down and talk to you.
I'm sorry.
I have maybe a what might be a slightly controversial opinion to state here.
Uh-oh.
House 2 is a really goofy movie.
Yeah. It's much more of a comedy, but House 1 isn't totally serious.
It's House 1's, how do you want to say that? It's got some, like, slapstick, I guess.
Yeah.
But it's still, like, a horror movie, you know?
Yeah.
House 2, and don't get me wrong, in its way, like, for what it is, I like House 2. It's weird, like, the whole electrician thing showing up. And just, you know, he just takes the whole alternate universe thing in stride, like, oh, I've seen this before, and he pulls a sword out of his toolbox. Like, what? And then he's just gone again. Like, the character just there and gone. It's like, were they planning on making a whole sequel with that dude? Because, you know, that could be a thing, right?
That was John Ratzenberger?
Yeah, the guy from Cheers. I mean, that's what I know him from. The mailman from Cheers. And then, you know, just the whole weird, the dog bug thing, and the baby pterodactyl, and like, they're all sitting around the dinner together, and he's like, well, you're my family now, like, with his undead grandpa and stuff. I mean,
Pugworm.
I don't know what the heck that thing was supposed to be, like, I guess it is what it is, it was a pugworm. Maybe it was like a... what became the Luck Dragon in Neverending Story, or whatever. That's its, like, larval form, or something. But, yeah, I mean, it's just a weird, goofy movie. I'm not sure... Was it actually supposed to be a sequel to House?
You know, I don't know.
Because it's not... like, it's not in the same house or anything.
Yeah, it is one of those kind of... movies that feels like it was made and then they decided after the fact.
Yeah, like, what was it, Chud 2? Where I'm pretty sure that wasn't actually supposed to be a Chud movie.
Chud the Chud?
Yeah.
I've never seen Chud 2. I'm ashamed.
This is debatable on whether or not it's true, but apparently there's strong belief among some people that it was supposed to be a continuation of the Return of the Living Dead stuff. Rather than a Chud movie. But yeah, it's you know, that movie as well also has its own charms to it. It's not a completely terrible movie. And I'm looking up on Wikipedia just trying to see if this sheds any light on whether it was supposed to be an actual sequel or not. I mean, apparently it technically is, but there was a comic book adaptation.
Of House? Yeah, I knew that.
Oh, of House 2. It was, written by Macchio. Macchio? Macchio.
I think it's, yeah, on camera.
And artwork by Alan Kupperberg. And
the Cup. That's what we call him. The Cup.
Oh, and Hilary Barta did inks on some of it.
What?
Yeah.
We talked to Hilary about the house.
He was one of four inkers on the book.
He will be like, I did? He'll say these exact words. Well, if you say that's what I did, then I did it.
So I need to look that up. I'd be curious to see what the comic book of House 2 is. But, anyway. I'm sure that really wasn't what I meant to talk about. That was just sort of filler, because I watched it last night and I hadn't seen it in a while. So.
Yeah!
It is... The tagline for it was kind of clever, too.
Isn't it called The Second Story?
Right. Which, yeah. It was literally The Second Story, and it's a house, and houses sometimes have second stories.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that was clever.
That is clever. That's copywriting, my friend.
Yeah. So I can buy the issue one of the House 2 Second Story comic book on Amazon for... What? I ain't paying that much for that. That's just kooky talk. I wonder how many issues it was. I'll look that up later. Expect a future review on House 2 the comic. Once I get it in my grubby little hands.
Your grubby little hand.
Mm-hmm. Have you been reading comics, Mike?
Put me on the spot like that? No, I haven't. I have not been reading any comics. I have been drawing, practicing guitar, and trying to write songs.
Okay.
And I have been... Sometimes I walk, not as much as I have been or should be.
Are you going to start singing that... Bad me. Kids in the Hall song?
Kids in the Hall song?
From the movie? Sometimes I walk. I walk alone song?
Oh. No.
Okay. Sorry. Go ahead.
You have to be more specific about songs in the Kids in the Hall movie.
Yeah.
It's practically a musical.
Yeah. Okay.
But yeah, I've been keeping myself occupied.
Well, that's good.
Oh, you know what?
What?
You know, this has nothing to do with anything. I was just looking at the pictures on my iPad, and my nephew somehow unlocked my iPad and took a bunch of pictures of himself on there as a joke. But how did he unlock my iPad? Do you think he has my Facebook account?
Have you tried looking at your Facebook account to see if there's anything weird on it? Like, looking at it from outside?
I've had Julie do it.
Are there weird...
She posted a note to people saying that they've been hacked, so not to interact or to report it as hacked.
Huh.
But I've contacted them several times. But there's no option that they have for you to, at least in my situation, because what they do is they say, well, we'll send you a code to your phone number or your email address. Well, the person has changed the phone number and the email address. So I can't do that.
Right.
So if they leave you no other option, it really, there's a fatal flaw in their policy. So I've just been sending them like instant messages and direct messages through like Twitter and any other thing I can find. Funny thing is, when I said I got hacked, I kept getting like messages from bot accounts trying to get me to give them my information so they could fix it.
Oh, of course, yeah. So, just in case
obviously I did that.
Right, because you want to make sure you're hacked, if you're saying you're hacked. Yeah.
I'm going to go big or go home.
Well, I mean, there's no point in half-assing it, man.
I didn't even reply with a yes. I just wrote my social security number down.
And your address and your phone number and your bank account number.
Well, I figure they know my address. No, I don't put that on my Facebook account. It's dumb.
Well, good luck with that. Hopefully you get it resolved.
Who knows? Matt Waringo, his wife, same thing happened to him. He said they haven't fixed it. It's been 6 months.
Oh. Well, that sucks.
Yeah.
They'll let, white nationalists form groups and let them go forever.
Right?
And they won't fix your account.
Yeah.
Makes
it sucks.
Makes you wonder exactly what it is they're doing.
trying to ruin the world.
Hmm. Hey, here's an interesting thing on eBay. I was looking up House 2 to try to see if I could find a copy of the comic, which I can. And I stumbled across this thing where somebody's selling a... What is this, exactly? Somebody has taken a 35mm film of House 2, cut the cells apart, and is selling groups of the cells.
Weird.
From the movie. So I guess that could be interesting. Not terribly expensive. It's coming from England, so it's like $9 plus, you know, 13 in shipping. To get 25 35mm cells. Hmm.
You gonna do it?
Oh, I don't know, maybe. It's kind of fun.
Sorry, I have to go get my Tom Servo doll to take a photo of it.
I like slides and negatives and stuff, so this is sort of like having slides and or negatives or something.
You do have a weird, like, fascination with negatives. Why do you have so many of them? Do you still have them?
Sure.
I forgot you were buying them.
I don't acquire as many as I used to because the market's gone up on them. But, yeah, I still have the ones I got. And occasionally I'll pick up a new lot here and there.
You might still have a batch of negatives for some stranger's family.
Yeah, I've got several collections like that, yeah. I've also got some that were apparently... I've got a group of them that were apparently taken by a...
What? Yeah, that's why he buys them off of eBay.
Yeah, I used to get them at, like, used shops.
Yeah.
It's me. To me.
It's fun. It's like looking at another person's history.
I guess, but you don't find it creepy at all?
No.
Not particularly.
I haven't.
That's the creepy part! You have just explained why
they're dead.
Are they dead, really?
I mean, if it's Eddie.
That makes them... Oh, you're a ghoul.
Well, yeah, but the Egyptians are dead. They're shit.
That's a good point. Now, what... You know... Oh, man, if I were high right now, this would be like a mind-blower.
I mean, if you read... biography of a dead person that's got a lot of pictures in it. What's the difference there?
Yes, yes, yes. You all made your point.
I mean...
Still wrong about Alien, but geez, this is... Yeah, you're blowing my mind with that.
I think film is special because it's... the direct image of something that happened right then, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You are correct.
When I buy a lot of, like, somebody's old family slides or something like that, I mean, honestly, I'm not really, like, groping through their private lives or anything. I don't really care about most of it. I'm hunting for the occasional special picture, you know? Something that's just like a...
What is the special picture?
Well, I mean, it can be anything, but I'm not talking about just, like, a snapshot of Johnny eating breakfast cereal. You know?
Thinking of the scene in Sinister.
Like, I mean, although I guess Johnny eating breakfast cereal could
looking
probably...
Looking for the photo of the kids killing their parents.
Well, like, I've got one of a kid dressed up in a cowboy outfit, you know, pointing a gun at the camera. And it's taken from a low angle, like the kid was up on a picnic table or something like that. So there's, like, a sky backdrop and, you know, stuff like that. It's a really cool-looking picture kind of thing. Or, like, you'll just get neat scenes of, like... people hanging out with old cars and the way it's arranged, it's an actually like decently composed picture, you know, as opposed to just snapshot of somebody's Christmas tree or something.
Snapshot of Christmas tree.
But even those can actually be kind of interesting sometimes when you zoom in and look at the ornaments. Or for instance, like the, for the Revival EP, I mean, that was one of those old negatives that I got with the creepy little girl in the front.
A picture of you when you were a kid.
You thought I was a creepy little girl from the, like, 50s?
I still think you're a creepy little girl from the 50s.
Well, all right. But see, I use that as an interpretation of the creepy little girl from early on in the Revival series. You know?
I think you explained this to me before.
That was just sort of my interpretation of that. And
just as mean to you then.
Probably. You are kind of mean.
I'm the worst.
Meanie.
I'm the worst.
So,
Everybody hates me.
Probably. I mean, it's about time for you guys to go to lunch. Do we have an email, Mike?
Hold on. I'm looking for a picture of MC Hammer.
Okay. I mean, you can't touch it, but sure. Okay. As a tie-in, because I was watching House 2, there's a brief appearance by a character there who's actress's name I can't remember, but she was also in Spring Break, which came out a few years earlier, so I started watching that.
Spring Break, is that the one with Tim Robbins in it?
That's the one with, oh, it's got a dude from, that was in General Hospital for years after that. It's, oh, that was the wrong thing to do. Just looking up Spring Break does not help.
It's not Fall Break, otherwise known as the Mutilator.
No, no. The Mutilator's a whole other animal. This was a Sean S. Cunningham movie.
Sean S. Cunningham,
you know, better known as a producer for Friday the 13th.
That's straight up Sean S. Cunningham.
That is some Sean S. Cunningham. Oh, he was also the director for Friday the 13th, the first movie. And Deep Star 6. Well, look at that.
We do have an email.
But no, let's see. I mean, there's probably names in here you'd recognize, like Paul Land.
Paul Ann?
Land. Paul.
I don't recognize
it. Steve Bassett. Perry Lang. No? None of these?
No.
Alright. Well, anyway, the actress I was thinking of was named Jane Modine. And she plays the main character's ex-girlfriend that shows up during the party and then gets drunk, hides in the closet, and just leaves later. Very brief part.
Great. I don't think I've seen this.
House 2?
Spring Break, you fool.
Oh, yeah, okay, so Spring Break, which was actually it was like on Columbia or something, or not Columbia, you know, it was like a major movie studio. Yeah, it was Columbia, Pictures. And I thought I had seen it, but once I started watching it, I didn't remember any of it, so I don't think I've seen it before. But it's your pretty typical... You know it. You'll know it as soon as you start watching it. Kind of, you know, you're going to know what's going to happen. Yeah.
I'll watch it then.
Right. But it's, so far, it wasn't, what I've seen of it, it wasn't terrible. It was kind of funny. I mean, it's full of your typical 1983, you know, kids cut loose movies. Which means it's got a lot of stuff you're kind of going to cringe at here and there. But it wasn't terrible. So, what's the emails there, Mikey?
Henrik wrote to us again.
Yay! We like Henrik.
Hi, Crank, Mike, and other folks trying to survive the summer heat.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't had a chance to write lately. I just wanted to give a quick TV recommendation.
Okay.
Kevin can fuck himself.
What?
I don't think I came out here yet.
It's a dark comedy take on the typical American sitcom where an annoying man-child is married to a beautiful woman and she puts up with his increasingly dumb antics of being treated like crap. The premise is about what happens if the wife realizes how much her life sucks and that she married a guy who really doesn't respect her. It's an interesting take on a classic sitcom.
Huh.
It
flashes between like reality and then like a like
I should point out that the official title of the show is Kevin Can F blah blah himself, because mature themes are okay, but swearing is a big no-no, which is rather silly. Anyway, I hope you guys are well. Keep the cranks coming. Henrik from Denmark.
So,
I've seen a commercial for this show, but I have not seen this show.
So what channel is it on?
I really like the idea of the premise. I feel like it's on, like, AMC or something like that.
Oh, well, yeah, AMC Studios is one of the production companies. So.
I think it was the first two on YouTube.
Oh, okay.
Huh. I will check that out.
Yeah, I saw that and I was wondering how they're going to make it funny. And maybe that's not the point. I think it'll be pretty cool. I like that idea. Because that is kind of a ridiculous trope.
Right. Huh. Well, cool. Thanks.
That's our email.
Groovy. I am looking at the things out today list.
The thing is out today! Run for your lives!
It's the things out today. And, I don't know, does anybody have anything in stores? Yeah? No? Maybe?
I got a fist waiting for you. Knuckle sandwich.
So you just hang around Challengers punching people?
I ask permission first.
Oh, I see. Whose permission do you ask?
Myself.
You give yourself permission to punch people in the face.
Well, you know.
So you're,
I want to offend myself.
You're sort of self-empowering, is what you're saying.
I am.
Okay. Well, that's something we should probably talk about a little more.
Okay.
Because
not right now, right?
No, no, in private. Because that slightly worries me.
I don't think you're worried.
A little bit. A little bit. I misread this title. There were two titles right next to each other under the Image Comics list. I was trying to figure out my head. I misread it and combined the titles, and I was trying to figure out what the hell this book would be. There's a book called Goddamned, and then there's a book called Good Asian, and I cross-read it and read it as Goddamned Asian. And I was like, wait a minute, what? That doesn't sound right. Sometimes I don't have dyslexia, but sometimes I kind of combine things if I'm reading too fast.
Andy Riggins.
Whoa.
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 I didn't say anything.
What are you doing there? What? Whoa.
Whoa.
Wow. This is a week when I don't think I have anything out.
Fine.
That slightly surprises me.
It's not bragging.
It's not bragging if it's true. alright, well, I guess that's it for this week then. You can reach us at crankcast.com, crankcast@gmail.com. Mike's website is ihatemike.com. You can go read Battlepug at battlepug.com. Sean's at andthankyouforflying.com. Happy birthday, Sean! Addison's at addisonduke.com. And, yeah. Hope you all have a good weekend. Don't die, because it's really hot.
That's right.
And I'm saying that half-joking, man, you know, people on the West Coast, there's a lot of deaths going on right there. And it's really not funny. Because, you know, people dying from heat, that sucks.
Okay.
So, yeah. Take care. Goodbye.